Good morning, Your Honor. May I address the court? I'm Nadia Hilson, appellant pursuing this action, and I make this argument to respond to three issues, one of which is that whether the court properly dismissed my complaint based on the basis of standing, and second, whether notice of appeal was timely filed. Well, actually, it was determined by this court it was filed one day late within the terms of Section 4A5C, but it should be considered as a jurisdictionally defective, whether this rule specifically raises jurisdictional issues and therefore notice of appeal should be considered jurisdictionally defective. And lastly, whether my motion to extend time to file notice of appeal should be treated as functional equivalent to notice of appeal. First, I'd like to address the main point of my appeal, that is the district court erroneously dismissed my complaint on standing requirements. Basically, what district court did, it took notice of assignment of 2001 between Fannie Mae and Washington Mutual, who was the owner of the note and the mortgage at the time, 2001, and then stated that because of that note in 2001, my action, which actually addresses the issues, facts and occurrences, occurred in 2003 and thereafter. Now, Washington Mutual has no causal connection to my claim. Therefore, then summarily concluded that because of that assignment, now we have to say that my claim is dependent upon intervening independent cause of Fannie Mae. Now, Your Honor, 2001 assignment, it's irrelevant to my claim. First of all, because claim is not dependent upon only contractual relationship. It is dependent upon violation of statutory requirements, which is independent from the ownership of the note. Washington Mutual had no note and mortgage, had no interest, in terms of ownership in the note and the mortgage. But the claims that I have described in my complaint provides that VAMO directly involved in those acts.
Servicing
the mortgage. Therefore,
the ownership of the mortgage is not in the ownership to standing.
Yes, Your Honor. Nevertheless, retaining certain rights in the note and the mortgage in terms of servicing. Then, if this is the case, then my complaint properly addresses the issues and the claim of wrongly improperly servicing the mortgage. Therefore, claim should not have been dismissed regardless of assignment, regardless who's the owner of the note and the mortgage, because it is maintainable against VAMO, because VAMO remained a mortgage server. And therefore, I don't see why court couldn't see distinguish standing requirement, which is apparently here I have injuries. In fact, the injuries are fairly traceable to VAMO, and it is redressable through this action. So that's my point with respect to this issue. And second issue, I'll be addressing whether notice of appeal filed one day late supposed to be jurisdictionally defective in nature. As I have mentioned in my supplemental brief, provided me notice and the opportunity to respond to this inquiry, I should say that this rule, specifically Rule 4A5C, is not jurisdictional in nature, in accordance of this court's ruling in Byfield, where it was stated that not all rules are jurisdictional, as some rules are specifically designed to claim processing rather than jurisdictional. this rule doesn't stem right from 2107, which directs jurisdictional nature of notice of appeal, when it's supposed to be filed, how it's supposed to be filed, and the format of the notice of appeal itself, directed by this section 2107, which is jurisdictional in nature. But this section has no counterpart, and the same was mentioned by my opponent in the supplemental brief as well, stating that this section has no counterpart in 2107, which is to be a jurisdictional nature. Therefore, this section itself is not jurisdictional. Even though this is a question, well, in my opinion, it's not jurisdictional. Nevertheless, I don't think that this court needs to reach this point because I filed a motion to extend my time to file notice of appeal. With that motion, I did attach actual notice of appeal, which is ample proof providing my opponents with my intent to file immediate appeal. Therefore, satisfying a requirement provided in Barry's court, and as well as 2107, which provides when, how notice of appeal is supposed to be filed. Basically, this is my brief opinion with respect to this appeal, and appeal has to be granted. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I am Joe Brooks from the FDIC Legal Division.
So let me just ask you two questions about the government's position. I had understood from your brief that the government wasn't contesting the timeliness, but your 20HA letter seems to challenge that again. Do you think this is not timely under Smith v. Berry?
I don't believe that there's an issue about the timeliness. The notice of appeal was indisputably filed a day late. The issue is, what are the consequences that flow from that?
No, I thought you had conceded in your brief that the draft notice of appeal satisfied was sufficient under Smith v. Berry. No?
I take it you're speaking of the supplemental briefing, Your Honor. I believe what we said was we did not take a position on the jurisdictional issue, but at that time our thinking was that perhaps the the motion for extension of time could serve as a functional equivalent.
Right.
Now, were this a typical...
Do you still agree with that that's okay?
Your Honor, we believe that it was at best a close question at the time.
Really?
And I think the way in which this issue arose is critical. The issue was first raised by the court directing supplemental briefing on the issue. And were this a merits issue, we would be reluctant to suggest to the court that perhaps a further look and a different view than the one we previously had should prevail here. But in preparing to argue this case, we came upon authorities which we think strongly support the view that the more reasonable conclusion here is that the motion for extension of time could not serve as the functional equivalent of a notice of appeal. And the reason for that is that under Smith versus Barry, the notice that must be given is notice that the party serving the notice of appeal intends to appeal. And a group of cases that Your Honor is likely familiar with that are cited in our Rule 20HA letter stand for the proposition that where the motion for extension equivocates or is uncertain or suggests that there are other courses of action which need to take place before the notice of appeal will be filed, that motion cannot serve as the functional equivalent of a notice of appeal. We believe those cases are directly applicable here, and I would direct the Court's attention in particular to the record in this case, which includes the motion, specifically pages 204 through 205, wherein the appellant explains that the reason why she was seeking an extension of time to file her notice of appeal is so that another action pending in the bankruptcy court in Delaware could proceed to its ending. Because she explained in her motion at those pages, she believes that that action in Delaware, which involves WAMU or WAMU's parent company, is the action where she can receive her full relief, which she says in her motion she cannot receive here. So she says, I need an extension for perhaps weeks, for perhaps months, for perhaps years, and I need to see what happens in that Delaware action before I'll know whether I'm going to file a notice of appeal. Any doubt that that's what she's saying on pages 204 through 205 is resolved by page 208 of the record, where appellant attached a proposed order which requests the following relief: that the appellant in this case, plaintiff below, needs to file the notice of appeal within 10 days of the date on which the Delaware action is resolved. The motion for extension of time here cannot serve as the functional equivalent of a notice of appeal, because not only does it not evince an intent to seek appeal immediately, but it demonstrates the then plaintiff, now appellant's, intent not to seek an appeal until and unless...
Do you have any cases where essentially the caveat about the intention to file a notice of appeal, desire to appeal, is a discrete, easily identified proposition as opposed to whatever ruminations might go on in the mind of the hypothetical appellant?
Yes, Your Honor. I think I don't have a cite, but I certainly have seen a case law that stands for the proposition that the intention, as measured by something other than the motion itself, is not relevant. The critical question here is, does the motion give notice of the party's intention to file an immediate appeal?
That's what I'm asking about. If the notice given indicates that there's a contingency, and the contingency is a discrete, clear act, it's an on-off switch, not under the control of the hypothetical appellant, is there any case that says that that is disqualified as adequate notice?
Your Honor, I believe that three of the cases cited in our Rule 28J letter, Bailey versus Kane, which is a Fifth Circuit case, Isert versus Ford Motor Company, which is a Sixth Circuit case, and United States versus Cohn, collectively all stand for that proposition. I particularly focus on Bailey versus Kane. It's a Fifth Circuit case where the court says that if the motion equivocates about whether an appeal will be taken, unquote, it doesn't suffice.
I'm talking about the character of, except your term, equivocation.
Yes, Your Honor, and I want to go on. The Fifth Circuit cited its earlier unpublished decision in the Holuber case. That's H-O-L-U-B-E-R. It's cited in Bailey versus Kane at page 766. And the court notes there that the party indicated that they needed time to determine whether they had an appealable issue.
That seems quite different to me. That's a matter which involves the hypothetical appellant's own assessment of various things, while here you have a discrete event that's going to happen one way or the other, and the appellant is interested in waiting to see which way that discrete event plays out.
Let me answer that in two ways, Your Honor. First of all, it does say that she wants to see how it plays out, but it also makes clear, I believe, that whether a notice of appeal will ever be filed in this case under that motion is dependent upon how the Delaware case turns out. She wants to wait. She wants to assess whether, in fact, she does get her full relief in the Delaware appeal. And at that point, she wants to determine whether to appeal. I'd also point out, though, the second point of my answer on that. In United States versus Cohn, the reason given for the motion for extension was, quote, to consider any other issues and courses of action, unquote. Well, that's precisely what the motion indicated here, is that the plaintiff appellant wanted to consider what course of action would be appropriate after the Delaware court makes a decision on her case up there. Again, the point here is, if you're the government, if you're any adverse party that receives a motion such as the one filed here seeking an extension, you don't look at it and say, voila, they're appealing, let's get ready. You look at it and say, wow, they want to wait and see what happens up in this other case in Delaware down the road, and depending upon what happens up there, they may or may not appeal. This is a case where there's not a timely notice of appeal, and the question is whether some other document gave the notice. This motion seeking an extension gave notice only that there was a contingency, it was a far-off contingency, and based on what happened in the Delaware action, the plaintiff may or may not ever even file a notice of appeal. It cannot, therefore, under Smith versus Barry's admonition that, quote, a notice of appeal must specifically indicate the litigant's intent to seek appellate review, unquote, it cannot satisfy that, as the courts in the Fifth, Sixth, and Fourth Circuits have found in the cases cited in our letter. I see that my time is up, but if there are any other questions, I'd be happy to respond to the court.
Thank you. Does Mrs. Yucasso have any time left? You can use your 3 minutes if you'd like.
Thank you, Alice. Yeah. My opponent just stated that allegedly my motion to seeking to extend time to appeal somewhat prejudiced FDIC in ascertaining whether I'm looking for to appeal. That's absolutely not true. My motion to extend time also asked the court whether I'm eligible to stay the action until that action in Delaware is determined, or should I proceed with the motion to appeal? Should I proceed with the notice of appeal itself? In other words, I was asking suggestion of the court, and to what rights I'm eligible. I'm a pro se litigant at least, and I'm not here for every day. And like I said, I don't practice federal practice every day. Therefore, I was asking the court to let me know to what rights I'm eligible under my motion to extend. Nevertheless, I have to remind FDIC that notice of appeal was filed with my motion papers, satisfying all requirements embodied in 2107. Therefore, it's not a jurisdictional requirement was satisfied. Whether they were prejudiced or not, I wasn't aware of that. FDIC has waived that defense, has never raised that issue before this court. Therefore, now coming in this, in terms of oral argument, telling me that, we've been prejudiced. I wasn't aware of that prejudice prior to it. Therefore, that argument has no merits in it. That's my opinion. And the case law submitted in this letter here, mostly inapplicable to my case, because I had notice of appeal, actual notice of appeal, which is that what law requires. Regardless whether violation of rule of four that was resulted in the district court because of district court order gave me a time, which is a day more than I was entitled to, and I filed my notice of appeal in accordance to that district court order, which resulted being late for one day. Regardless of that, like I said, Rule 4 is not subsection A5C, is not jurisdictional in nature because it doesn't stem directly from 2107, which provides jurisdictional basis for this for the district court to review these or other cases, notice of appeal. That's my argument.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Case is submitted.